Eurovision attracts more viewers than the Super Bowl, and yet a lot of Americans have scarcely heard of it. Probably more people know that B.G. Liederman does our theme music. Winners of this pan-European song contest generally become one-hit wonders, if even that, and even more rarely do they make a name for themselves over here. But Sissel Overgaard reports there have been a few exceptions, the most notable the band that won 40 years ago this weekend.
First, it helps to understand what came before ABBA.
Monday morning, the streets are black with rain, under a sky that hovers high.
Back in 74, the Eurovision Song Contest was quite a stiff upper lip sort of event.
Ing-Marie Halling is curator of the ABBA Museum in Stockholm.
The audience were sitting in long dresses and bow ties and tuxedos. And actually, they looked the same as the artists did at the time.
For the most part, songs had to be performed in an artist's native language. And when that rule was temporarily lifted in the 70s, it led to some awkward results, like this infamous line from the Swedes who preceded ABBA.
Oh, your breasts are like swallows and nesting.
And then these four hit the scene in glam-inspired crushed velvet, chains, and silver platform boots.
They really stood out. People looked at each other and thought, what is this?
It's almost repeating itself.
It was a good song to win the Eurovision Song Contest with.
Swedish musicologist Alf Björnberg.
The problem, I think, is that the Eurovision Song Contest has always been very ridiculed as a media event, which is regarded as quite cheesy and ridiculous.
ABBA had entered Eurovision as a calculated move to gain exposure outside of Sweden, and it worked in that Waterloo topped the charts all over the world. But when the group tried to follow up with its next single, a song similar in style to Waterloo called So Long, no one outside of Northern Europe was having it. According to ABBA's official website, the year and a half following Waterloo was plagued by the, quote, stigma of having won Eurovision.
Oh, that's kind of funny they say that. That's definitely hindsight speaking.
Musicologist Ivan Rakoff admits that while Eurovision may have a reputation as a bit of a cheese fest, it was probably still a good strategy.
Since then, of course, since they won and they had all this sort of super international career, now they can look back perhaps and be like, oh, how embarrassing, you know. Oops, what did we do?
Nonetheless, it did take time, creativity, and a lot of skillful networking before ABBA was able to land its second worldwide hit, this time with a much different sounding song.
So when you're near me, darling, can't you hear me? SOS. The love you gave me, nothing else can save me. SOS.
SOS. A song The Who's Pete Townsend would reportedly later declare the best pop song ever written.
In the 70s, popular music development mainly had to do with studio production.
And that, says Alf Björnberg, is where ABBA was truly able to shine.
If you look at ABBA's production as a whole, Waterloo is not a very typical ABBA song. They were quite eclectic about songwriting. They were successful in quite a lot of distinct musical styles.
It's impossible to say whether ABBA's eventual superstardom came because of or in spite of Eurovision, but they certainly tried to make the best of an opportunity before evolving to stay relevant. Love them or hate them, surely that's a hallmark of any group whose music can last for 40 years. For NPR News, I'm Sissel Overgaard.
So when you-